This is the Aspen Public Radio newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, here with your top stories this Friday. The Garfield County Coroner's Office has identified the woman killed in an I-70 crash Wednesday night as Jennifer Parker. According to Colorado State Patrol, Parker was struck by a semi-truck after walking into the right lane of the freeway near Glenwood. The 47-year-old Glenwood resident was declared dead at the scene, as was her dog, which was located near her. The semi-truck driver left the scene, but has been identified. The crash investigation remains open, and any witnesses are asked to call Colorado State Patrol. The Aspen School District Board wants the state to spend more on education. They reviewed a potential statewide ballot question on the issue yesterday. Aspen Daily News reporter Lucy Peterson reports.
The State Teachers Union is working with the Colorado General Assembly to place a question on the November ballot that would allow the state to allocate more tax dollars for education. It's called the Cut the Ropes campaign. The state is restricted in how much money it can retain and spend under the 1992 Taxpayer Bill of Rights, and state education leaders have long said schools in Colorado are woefully underfunded. This measure would attempt to fix that. The ballot language has not been finalized, but teacher union leaders across the state are asking school boards to pass resolutions of support. The Aspen Board of Education will review the proposal in February once the language is finalized before formally supporting the measure. Lucy Peterson, Aspen Public Radio News.
In arts and culture news, President Trump took office shortly after Aspen Gay Ski Week ended last year. Despite several executive orders rolling back LGBTQIA+ protections since, Aspen Public Radio's Reagan Mertz reports that attendees continue to celebrate the queer community.
In Trump's first month in office, he signed an executive order banning gender-affirming care for minors. And since then, he's directed the State Department to stop issuing federal ID documents with gender markers that do not conform to his administration's new male and female binary definitions. His administration has also cut grants for LGBTQ+ research. Despite these attacks on the queer community, Roaring Fork Valley locals Damian Williamson and Pete Belond say they want to continue to show up for their community. Belond recognizes that as gay men in a wealthy liberal area of the country, they are privileged. He wants to show up for the members of his community who don't have the same luxuries.
Finding community in these moments of hardship, and like, we can live awesome lives despite all of this.
And Williamson says he has seen more and more people, not just in Aspen this week, but also around the world.
Being at gay events around the country and the world, I'm seeing people kind of lean in more, like, you know, in spite of kind of the current political climate.
The nonprofit that puts on Aspen Gay Ski Week, Aspen Out, says attendance this week is on par with previous years. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Reagan Mertz.
In statewide news, Governor Polis gave his final State of the State address yesterday before a joint session of the Colorado Legislature. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Lucas Brady Woods reports the speech was sentimental, but also laid out his priorities for his last year in office.
Polis opened on a somber note, reflecting on the COVID-19 pandemic, wildfires, and mass shootings that happened during his two terms. But then he highlighted some of his favorite achievements, like free kindergarten, universal preschool, and making progress on Colorado's clean energy goals. Polis also criticized the Trump administration over funding cuts, tariffs, and its hardline immigration policies.
Over the past 12 months, it seems like Washington has often been in it to break it down, to make life harder and less affordable, to make Americans feel more fearful, more belligerent, and more vulnerable.
Looking ahead, Polis urged lawmakers to tackle some of his remaining priorities this year, like building more affordable housing. He also expressed frustration over the cost of Medicaid and its growing burden on Colorado's budget.
That was Lucas Brady Woods for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. The National Center for Atmospheric Research, or NCAR, in Boulder did not receive funding in the recently passed appropriations package. That's despite efforts by Colorado senators to secure money for the facility, which employs more than 1,000 scientists and supports weather forecasting, aviation safety, disaster preparedness, and military operations. Last month, the Trump administration said it would dismantle the facility, calling it a, quote, source of climate alarmism. Senate Republicans blocked the amendment put forward by Colorado senators. Senator John Hickenlooper said NCAR was just one example of retaliation against Colorado by the Trump administration.
As part of his campaign against Colorado, President Trump also denied emergency disaster relief to help families rebuild after devastating wildfires and floods. He canceled millions of dollars for clean energy. He slashed hundreds of millions of dollars in child care assistance for families and denied 50,000 rural Coloradans clean drinking water.
Hickenlooper said the loss of NCAR funding makes the country less safe as climate-driven disasters like wildfires and hurricanes continue. Colorado Congressman Jason Crow says a Department of Justice investigation into his appearance in a social media video is politically motivated. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Kyle McKinnon reports.
The investigation is tied to a video posted online in November that included Crow and several other congressional Democrats. In the video, the lawmakers urged members of the military to refuse illegal orders. Crow says the investigation is part of a broader effort to silence critics of President Trump.
He has weaponized the government and put his political cronies and hacks in an effort to intimidate and harass us.
Four other Democratic lawmakers in the video say they are also being investigated by the Justice Department. Another participant, Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona, is facing a censure that could reduce his military rank and pension. Trump and other administration officials have described the video as, quote, seditious and labeled the lawmakers, quote, traitors.
That's Kyle McKinnon for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. And in regional news, national park goers will not get free admission on Martin Luther King Jr. Day this year. The Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports on how this represents a change from years past.
When the National Park Service announced 8 free entry days for 2026, both Martin Luther King Jr. Day and Juneteenth were left off the list. They were replaced by other days, including Flag Day, June 14th, which coincides with President Trump's birthday. The shift was rebuked by the national president of the NAACP, who called it an attack on the truth of this nation's history. Omar Montgomery leads the Rocky Mountain chapter, and he agrees.
This is another way that the federal administration is undermining and trying to erase the contributions of Black people in the United States.
The National Park Service started free entry days in 2009, and Martin Luther King Jr. Day was on the list in 2011. Even with no waived entry this year, several Park Service sites and nonprofits are continuing to hold days of service to honor the civil rights leader's legacy. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
The National Park Service has not responded to comment on this story. A libertarian legal group is celebrating a victory in a case that it says protects individuals from government overreach. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Hannah Mertzbach reports, it all comes down to a woman and her miniature goat.
The 20-pound pygmy goat named Portia Lane moved with her owner from California to Powell, Wyoming. The owner says she wanted to deal with less government, but that's not what she got. She was denied a permit to keep Portia as an exotic pet in the city. Lawyer Austin Wisenin with the Pacific Legal Foundation represented her pro bono.
Local governments across the nation, and including in Wyoming, exercise what I would say is a pretty shockingly large grant of power.
Wisenin says the city has no standards for determining who gets an animal permit, and thus denied the goat owner due process. Now the city's settling and granting a permit for Portia Lane. Elsewhere, Midvale, Utah now allows pygmy goats, but only if you have two, so they're not lonely. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Hannah Mersbach.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett, Josie Taris, and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.